bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. I know we have some company with us. I asked my brethren to look around. If you did not receive a bulletin when you came in, if you see someone without one, please share or get up and go get one. Just don't keep going, that's all. No? There's an outline in the bulletin this morning of the lesson, and it's based on the text that was read to us. Going to look at seven things more precious than gold. Seven things more precious than gold. You ask somebody, can you think of anything more precious? And you might get a negative answer. I can't think of a thing more precious than treasure or silver or gold. But the Bible does give us some answers. Let me. There's one verse I want to use in the introduction that I did not put in your notes. It's Proverbs 13, verse 7. Solomon said, "There is he that makes himself rich, yet has nothing." So if you have only the, Solomon is saying, if you have only the worldly goods, but no spiritual blessings, you have nothing. Then the verse continues, "There is he that makes himself poor, yet has great riches." So you may be without the worldly treasures, but you have treasures in heaven. There's spiritual blessings. There's much to be gained by that. And so we're going to look at some things the Bible presents as being more precious than gold. Number one, the Proverbs 15, verse 16. Says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." A couple more verses that Solomon says, we'll add to it. In verse 17 of chapter 15, it says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." Chapter 16, verse 8, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues or treasure without right." Chapter 17, verse 1, "Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of sacrifices with strife." Wow. Solomon gives us a very practical lesson in life. What value is the finest steak on your table when you've lost your appetite? "No, I'm not hungry, thank you." When we're angry, when we're fighting, we lose our appetite. Don't eat your steak while you're watching world news tonight, by the way. Just upset you. So it's not, Solomon's saying it's not worth it. You don't want treasure when it comes with trouble. You don't want your steak when it comes with hate. Or your might when it's not right. Or a rich life when there's strife. Think again of what value is that Sealy posture, pedic, sleep therapy, temperature control, self-adjusting mattress when you can't sleep because of hatred and strife. Of what value is it? You have the best. So treasure with trouble, not precious. Number two is life. Jesus asked the question. A man who had many items and treasure, and he wanted to build bigger barns to store it in. He said, I have so much, I need to build more. So Jesus said at the end when his life was taken, in Matthew 12, verse 15, "Beware of covetousness. Man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses." So he's saying, don't determine the value of your life by possessions. If that were true, I'm not worth very much. At least compared to a lot of or many people in our world. I can't compare myself with Bill Gates or some of those other million billionaires. But don't determine the value of your life by what you lack. It's So Jesus says, your life is not determined by your possessions. Some people think that. They all say, if I have more toys, I win. So I want to accumulate and get more and more. Because that's of great value and treasure. Jesus says, oh, there's something of more value. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 25, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? In verses 32 and 33, he says, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Right? I have needs in life. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll say it again, Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added to you. God knows you have need. But give him priority. Give God first place. Prove God to be true with that statement. Isn't that life more value than treasure? What would you give? If we offered you a great treasure, some of money for your life, would you take it? Shake your head this way. Because once I give you the money, I take your life. What good is the treasure? Can't take it with you. Life is more precious than the designer clothes we wear. It's more precious than the places we eat or the fine food that we eat. You may not be the best, but you can be your best. And that's what he's asking. Be your best. Number three is time. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 15, says, see that you walk circumspectly. We don't use that word very much. The idea is you're going to walk, look circumspectly, look in all directions for a safe walk. And then he adds, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. It means make the most of your time. Make the wisest possible use of your time. It's more valuable than treasure. Because with no amount of money are you able to hold on to time. With some people, time runs out before their money does. But with others, what value is your treasure when your time is gone? Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. You have to be taught. You have to learn the lesson. Teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. There's something of more value than treasure, and that's the time. You can't buy it. So with the time you have, the lesson and the admonition is prepare for eternity, where time will be no more, but you have no time to lose. Number four. I'm going to watch the time. I have much more to say. You see all these notes that I have. Number four, in Proverbs 8, verse 10, verses 10 and 11, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Really? Well, we ought to need to have some explanation on that one, don't we? And to get understanding is rather to be chosen than silver. Oh, we want to challenge that thought, don't we? Solomon, are you sure? So I put in your notes, someone said there's no knowledge so valuable as a knowledge of what's valuable. James says it this way. James chapter 3, beginning of verse 14. If you have If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart. Oh, I don't want that. That wisdom descends not from above. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. So are you harboring some bitterness? Hatred? Strife? Even if you think you're right, you're wrong. It's not from above. You're harboring it. He said, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom from above, oh, it's pure, it's peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy. There's information, knowledge, instruction that's a far greater treasure than gold and silver. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 8, it says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. Wow, Paul, you've accumulated a lot of things under that old law. Oh, your status, the things that you have. I counted all those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. That's the text, isn't it? The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. I count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, there's something more precious than silver. Knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Don't forsake Bible study. Something more precious than silver and gold. Number five is honesty. Proverbs 19, verse 22, a poor man is better than a liar. Quite a breakdown, as you know, in our world in the matter of honesty. We see the newspaper or hear the reports, cheating, swindling, robbery. Drug money. People trade their honesty for gold. Solomon is saying a poor man is better than a liar. We need to teach honesty. I remember the story of a school teacher. Every time a test was given, the teacher would say to the students, taking two tests today. One's a test of honesty and the other's a test of the subject matter. If you can only pass one test, be sure it's a test of honesty. Don't cheat on the test. If you can only pass one test, I'm giving you a test. Really, there's two tests. A test of honesty and a test of subject matter for our life. I've always wondered about honesty in advertising. There's that law. I think there's supposed to be truth in advertising. You know, years ago, I went down the road and I saw Honest John's used cars. How can any other car dealer stay in business when you have Honest John's? You believe the advertising, Honest John's. But I'd go back, make a trip living out here, going back to Michigan to see my parents. I try to make a stop and took me carrying to Mexico. I'd like to get that far on the journey. And so there's an inn place that I would stay at. Good Night Inn. Oh, that sounds good to me. I'm on a good night. Good Night Inn. But here's the freeway in front, and behind the pastures in the back, there's a railroad. Good night? That's what I said. Good night. The traffic and then the railroad. Honesty. In the U-Haul, sometime when I came back and my parents died, bring stuff back, it said gentle ride. Just a small U-Haul, just a real small U-Haul. I had waves in my Pepsi, you know, high surf. Gentle ride. Number six is character. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name, and you know this one, is rather to be chosen than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. You see, when we die, it won't matter how much gold or treasure we've accumulated. But what will matter is the manner of life in which we've lived, our character. My brother, when my nephews were really young, he called them in and he'd say, boys, two boys, just a year or two apart. And my brother was, I say, twins.
So they were twins?
That's funny. They were the same age. I forgot. I was thinking of the grandkids. But with my brother, he had the twins. So he would call them in and he would offer them something. He said, would you rather have this quarter or a good name? Would they take?
Quarter.
The quarter. Now, we can understand that for these youngsters. But if you made that same offer to an adult, Don, you take the... you're taking the good name, right, Don? You're not taking the quarter. The good name. See, we recognize the difference in value while we're older. But while we're young, we haven't been taught of what is of more treasure, of more value. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So hopefully we've learned that over the years. Then the last one, I said it's okay to give up gold to make a good character, but don't give up good character to make gold. Number 7, the last one, salvation. Jesus asked the question, what shall it profit a man? Mark 8, verse 36. What shall it profit? Oh, we're going to talk about treasure. You gain the whole world. That's a lot. Nobody has the whole world in their hand. But Jesus gave that illustration. What if you had all the treasure of the world? What does it profit if you lose your soul? Oh, what's more precious than gold? Don't trade your soul for treasure. You could be the one person in the world who has the most, as we said, the most toys or the most treasure. But of what value is it if you lose your soul? Our soul, eternal salvation, when you know it's so precious, God gave his best. It's in 1 Peter 1, verse 18. I referenced it in your notes. It says, for as much as you know, I hope you know this. You know, when Peter writes it, for as much as you know, let it sink in. Now know this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, the price of our salvation is even more precious than gold, than treasure. God gave his best. That's worthy of our consideration. Our salvation cost more than silver and gold. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to that if you've not obeyed the gospel message. There's a simple plan or formula or steps to take. We need to hear the good news. Jesus sent disciples, apostles into all the world. Preach the gospel, the good news to everybody. Don't leave anybody out. Second, you'll need to believe that. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. Hebrew writer says in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him or please God. For all that comes to him must believe. Believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You need to believe that. Number 3, you'll want to repent of your sins because Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. Then number 4, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's the good news message. God so loved the world, he sent his Son. I want to make that confession. I believe that. And that's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He says, here's water. Anything stopping me from being baptized? He said, well, believe. If you believe, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. Commanded the chariot to stand still after that confession was made. And then number 5, be baptized. They both went down into the water. Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always an occasion of joy. If you have not obeyed that gospel plan, fulfilled those steps, you have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. Just simply
come and have, while we're singing this song, and have a seat beside me, and just let that request be made known at the close of the song. Let's stand together and the song that Dennis has selected for us. Please, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, please let it be known while we're singing this song.